Ephesians chapter 4. Once you found it, I'd love you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's word, if you can. Holy, holy. How we love your word, Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Oh, I love your word, God. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Nate and I went to a breakout session yesterday entitled Calling. We all need a calling. And we are all called. If nothing else, we are all the children of God. And we find our identity in Christ. Because he's a good, good father. That's who he is. And we're loved by him. That's who we are. It's important that we know our calling in Christ. So many people are hopeless. Suicidal. Filled with anxiety, filled with depression, and they need to know that their name is in heaven. That's the hope they need, first and foremost. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. My wife knows about this. She has to bear with me sometimes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of... This is what the enemy is after today. There is so much disunity. There is so much discord. God, unify us again in the Spirit, in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Did you hear the words I just said? To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Ephesians 4, verse 8. He says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Oh, Lord, we want to open every gift. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Above and below me, before and behind me, fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Jesus, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest in the futility of their mind. The futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God because of ignorance, because of the blindness of our heart, being past feeling. So many past feeling, numb. And anger has brought them there. Giving themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Ephesians 4:20, but you have not so learned in Christ. Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is Jesus. That you put off according concerning your former conduct, the old man, it grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness, holiness. Put away lying, verse 25. Let each one of you speak truth, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Other translations say, in your anger, do not sin. I think that's an unfortunate translation. Be angry. I think in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You see, we cannot give place to the devil, verse 27. This is what's going on, folks. People are angry and giving footholds to the enemy, because offense is the bait of Satan. There's this resource that I'm going to talk about in a minute called Unoffendable. I encouraged our board to read it by Brant Hansen. Unoffendable by Brant. You can write it down in a minute. Anger is a problem today. Big, big, huge, in-your-face problem right now. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. What is good, he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good, necessary, edification, that may impart grace to the hearer. Because this is what grieves the Holy Spirit of God, verse 30. I grew up in a Pentecostal church that talked a lot about what grieves the Holy Spirit. But this is right here in Ephesians chapter 29 and verse 30. Grieving the Holy Spirit of God is when our words do not edify. Our words do not lift up. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, put it away with all malice, all anger. Be kind to one another, tender. Oh God, may we be tender-hearted, forgiving. How many times should we forgive, Jesus? So we count 7 times 70, and then that's how many times we forgive. No, he's just saying eternal. Because that's how God forgives us, is eternal. Forgive, even as God in Christ forgave you. And remember, forgiveness and trust don't always go together. That's important. Father, this morning your word is power. It's the answer for our day. Your word is life. Your word is hope. Your word is eternal. We hang on tight to your word today. And we ask that you would let it go deep within us and change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Lord, have mercy. Ephesians is impossible to narrow it down to 3 points. I've been struggling with this. So y'all got to deal with 5 today, all right? Let them have it, Nate. Oh, there it is. First of all, lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing in love. Bearing with love. This is the answer to the struggle we're facing today. We need to humble ourselves. We need to think of ourselves less. Not think less of ourselves, but think of ourselves less. We need gentleness. We need long suffering. This is the answer to the angst of our day. This is all there is if you don't want to live miserable every day. I know folks that as they grow older, they become sweeter and sweeter. And I know folks that as they grow older, they become sourer and sourer. Sweet and sour are good together on a plate sometimes. But it also is a problem. This is the angst. We cannot fight fire with fire. Ephesians 4:2 is always the answer. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil a foothold. This is the answer. Lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with love. Resist the bait of Satan. Offense, be unoffendable. I'm going to share a story from that resource at the close of my sermon. I'm running out of time today. It's a book I was talking to the board about at our last meeting, and you can write that down now. It's Unoffendable by Brant Hansen. Wonderful resource. Secondly, Equipping the Saints for the Work of the Ministry, edifying. You know, ministry is not just what preachers do. We are all ministries. We are all ministers. We all need a ministry. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a minister. This right here is my job description. To cheer you on to loving like Jesus. Don't you dare say, well, I'm not a saint, so this doesn't apply to me. I don't feel like a saint either. I'm just called, and so are you. God uses our messiness sometimes. The reality of heaven is when you open your heart to Jesus, He makes you a saint. You can't earn it. It is by grace. So now look at your neighbor and say, you're a saint. Is that hard work for some of you? Sharon, you're a saint. I know it. You are a saint. I also want to accentuate the word edifying. Our job is to lift one another up, to encourage. There it is again, awe, affection, warmth, encouragement. This is my heart for the family of God, awe. Treat a person as they appear to be, and you make them worse. But treat a person as if they already were what they potentially could be, and you make them what they should be. The teacher is shaking her head. An experiment was performed in a school in the San Francisco Bay Area. A principal called in 3 teachers and said, because you 3 teachers are the finest in the system and you have the greatest expertise, we're going to give you 90 selected high IQ students. We're going to let you move these students through the next year at their pace and see how they can learn. See how much, how far you can get. The three faculty, the students, and the students' parents were all brought in on this great idea. And it seemed they especially enjoyed that school year. By the time school was through, the students had achieved from 20 to 30% more than the others in the entire San Francisco Bay Area. And at the end of the year, the principal called the three teachers in, told them, "I have a confession to make. You did not have the 90 most intellectually prominent students. They were run-of-the-mill guys, run-of-the-mill students. We took 90 students at random from the system and gave them to you." The teachers naturally concluded, "Well, it's our exceptional teaching skills. Must have been responsible for the students' great progress." "I have another confession," said the principal. "Your names were the first three drawn out of a hat." Why then did those students and these teachers perform at such an exceptional level for an entire year? This doesn't make sense. They were encouraged to believe they could. Encouragement changes everything. Edification, lifting people up, changes everything. Past feeling given to lewdness. Jesus, please bless us. Jesus, please keep us. Past feeling is a heart with no conscience. The still small voice of God is quenched. The spirit is grieved. This is scary. And there's way too many people sitting here. Unclean, greedy, just plain evil. And today, folks are celebrating evil. I don't know if you know, but I'm not a big Halloween fan. Halloween is my least favorite. It's at the bottom of the list. It's not even on the list. And plus, I can't. Do you think I need more candy? Come on. This boy doesn't need any more candy. I'm sorry to sound like an uptight preacher, but I still don't like celebrating yuck. I said yuck. I have to be careful here. I don't want to be legalistic. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. Number four. No corrupt word out of your mouth. Impart grace. Impart grace. Wow, what if we really practiced this verse? Everything would change. Like I already said, Lord, put a watch guard on my tongue. How many of you pray that? That's right out of Psalms. Lord, put a watch guard on my tongue. Memorize this one. Quote it to yourself all day long. Let no corrupt word come out of this mouth, Lord, but only what is good for necessary edification, that it imparts grace, grace, grace. Until you change from the inside out, put this verse all over your house. Number five, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, 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 just like Jesus forgives, 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 forgives. Unoffendable. Did you write down Unoffendable by Brant Hansen? Did you write it down? I know some of you didn't do it. Come on. Unoffendable by Brant. This is a good resource. I know I'm going over a little bit. Is it okay with you? Does anybody need to get? If you need to get. It's okay. This is from a chapter within the book entitled I Can Worship a God Like That. And I had to share it. Once upon a time, there was a prostitute. She lived in Hawaii, and it was her birthday. Her name was Agnes. Anybody heard of Tony Campolo? Pretty famous guy. He writes about her in his book, The Kingdom of God is a Party. Tony goes to the edge sometimes. He was in a diner in Honolulu very late one night, and 3:30 in the morning, because he couldn't sleep, he had jet lag. And it was just him, his donut, his coffee, and the guy behind the counter, when suddenly a group of prostitutes came in. They sat down on either side of Tony, and they were very crude and very loud. He almost left. But then he overheard one of them saying tomorrow was her birthday, her 39th birthday. Another woman made fun of her, bringing up, what do you want, Agnes, a party? You want a cake? You want us to sing happy birthday? And Agnes said no, she didn't. She'd never had a party. Her entire life, nobody ever sang her birthday. Nobody ever gave her a cake. So why start now, she said. And this is what Tony said. He said, when I heard that, I made a decision. I sat and I waited until the woman had left. And then I called over the guy behind the counter. And I asked him, do these ladies come in every night? And he said, yeah, they do. The one right next to me, does she come in every night? Yeah, he said, that's Agnes. She comes in here every night. What do you want to know? I heard her say that tomorrow is her birthday. And what do you say? I do something about that. What do you think about us throwing a birthday party for her right here tomorrow night? So the guy behind the counter, his name's Harry, loved the idea, and so did his wife, who did the cooking in the back. And in fact, he wanted to make the birthday cake. Tony told him he'd be there earlier the next morning in time to decorate, and he decorated complete with crepe paper, streamers, a sign that read, Happy Birthday, Agnes. Apparently, word of the party got out because the place was filled with prostitutes before Agnes' arrival. When she came in at 3:30 with a friend, the whole place erupted. Happy birthday to you. She was stunned and her mouth agape, flabbergasted. Her friend had to steady her. And when they began to sing, she began to weep. Harry lit the candles, and as she blew out the cake, she was in tears, and she didn't want to cut the cake. Instead, she asked if she could keep the cake just a little while. She wondered if that would be okay. And Harry said she could. And then she said, I want to take the cake home, okay? I'll be right back, honest. She left with the cake, and everyone sat there in silence. And Tony said he didn't know what else to do, so he broke the silence with, what do you say we pray? Looking back on it now, it seems more than strange for this preacher to be leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes in a diner in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning. But then it just felt like the right thing to do. I prayed for Agnes. I prayed for her salvation, Tony says. I prayed that her life would be changed and that God would be good to her. And when I finished, Harry leaned over the counter and with a trace of hostility in his voice, he said, hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of a church do you belong to? And in one of those moments when just the right words came, Tony said, I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning. And Harry waited a moment and almost sneered as he answered, no, you don't. There's no church like that. If there was, I'd join it. I'd join a church like that. Father, this morning,
Your church has so far to go, God. Make us a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes. Make us a church that loves. Make us an Ephesians 4 church, overflowing with your gentleness, with your tender-hearted grace. I see shattered, you see whole. I see broken, you see beautiful. And you're helping me to believe. You're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. What was dead now lives again. My heart's beating inside my chest. Oh, I'm coming alive with joy and destiny. Cause you're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. I am clean. I am clean. Why? washed in the blood of your sacrifice. I am clean. Oh, you make me. You wash me clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean.
Would you stand to your feet this morning? Receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Father's love and the Son's grace, oh, would you lift your hands to heaven? May the Father's love and the Son's grace and the Spirit's comfort wash over you this very moment. Holy, holy, holy. May the mercy, may the grace, may the unbelievable, unexplainable love of Ephesians 4 be all over you. May your mouth no longer be a tool of anger. May your mouth no longer be a tool of putting others down. May your mouth be full of the edification of heaven. May your mouth overflow with affection and warmth and encouragement. May out of your belly flow living water. What was dead now lives again in Jesus. Jesus. All you have to do is speak the name of Jesus. And in that name, there everything is in that name. Jesus. 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 In this holy moment, I want to invite you to our Wednesday prayer time. Come and go as you please. I'm sitting in the presence of the Lord, and I'm praying for the supernatural, and God is going to do it. I'm telling you, I'm waiting on God, and He's going to move. We're going to see salvation, deliverance, healing. We're going to see a fresh outpouring of His Spirit, a baptism, a fresh fire from heaven. I am sitting and I'm waiting on God, and He's going to do it. We can't waste moments anymore. We need Christ before us, behind us, beside us, within us, every day. God's showing up at the supermarket. God's showing up at school. God's showing up in your car. God's showing up in your home. God's showing up in ways that are unexplainable. God bless you for being here this morning. Mm-hmm.